my mind is going on with to maybe keep on going with what I had started yesterday about Jesus Christ being a mediator. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Now, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." We said that was Moses mediating the law, or being the go-between between the law and God and his people. But it said, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." God changed in that one verse. He changed the way that people think about mediating. Or the way that people usually think about mediating. So now a mediator is not a mediator of one, meaning he's not a, you know, he says, why would one need to be mediated? You know, it's like you have a problem with yourself, and so you mediate for yourself. I mean, y'all see that he says that just don't make sense to you. That's never happened before. He said, but God is one. He says, you don't understand that. That's not the way that you've normally looked at mediating. He said, but God is one. Now, I've got a, for you Bible students, and hopefully that's all of you, I've got a problem for you that I want you to reconcile. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And he says in verse 5, I'm sorry, chapter 2 in verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Do y'all see the problem? I mean, maybe it's not a problem to y'all. I see that as a little bit of problem. He said, now a mediator is not a mediator of one. So this mediation that was done was between one, wasn't it? But he says, but there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Do y'all see that being a logical problem? Maybe you don't. I kind of see that as a little problem. I call it a Bible problem. It's really not a Bible problem. It's a problem with me. If I don't interpret it correctly, it's certainly a problem with me. But God told us that this scripture is true. All these scriptures are true. And there's not a fallible part in them. So it's not situational. One situation it is over here, and then another situation, oh, we changed the rules for this situation. It's not that way. How can God be a mediator, but God is one, and still yet be a mediator between God and man? Do y'all see that as a problem? Maybe that's not the way I need to go with it this morning. I don't know. Y'all pray for me. Certainly we understand that man couldn't mediate for himself. Man couldn't mediate with God. He's not perfect enough to mediate with God. He's not good enough. That'd be like, I heard on the radio yesterday, a man was talking about a problem that he had, and he said, I don't have the money to get a lawyer. I don't have the money to get a lawyer. And the guy said, well, you need to get a lawyer. Someone that can stand. He said, well, maybe I can represent myself. He said, oh, the judge frowns on that. The judge frowns on people that mediate. Again, I told you, you know, we're in here with two preachers that are lawyers, and then I'm not one, and I'm sitting up here trying to talk about it. That's pitiful. We had no ability to stand before a righteous God. Brother Tim yesterday said Job tried. He said, oh, if I could just would contend with God. If I could just contend with God. Stand before him and plead my own case. God gave him that chance. And he told him, he said, gird yourself up now. Gird your loins up now like a man. He said, and speak. But before he spoke, he gave him some of the ground rules a little bit. And he said, where were you when I meted out the heavens with a span? Where were you when I said to the ocean, come this far and no further? Where were you when I hung the stars on nothing? And he went through a whole chapter or so of those kind of things. And he said, okay, Job, now you can talk to me. And Job said, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to keep quiet. And I tell you, when we think and get so high in our own selves that we think that we want to contend with God, we better remember some things about what God is, who God is, how perfect he is, how that his laws and his justice will be demanded. I mean, it will be satisfied. And he demands perfectness. How we're bankrupt and have nothing to pay. We have nothing. I mean, we couldn't even pay for the lawyer. We had, you know, if you can't afford one, there will be one appointed to you. Isn't that great? We have one appointed for us, don't we not? His name is Jesus Christ. He is the defender of his people. You know, I want y'all, my mind goes sometimes, and I call it chasing rabbits, and I really don't like that kind of preaching much, but sometimes I have to do it. I want to set up a picture for y'all. And this is, you know, a mediator is a stand between, one that stands between something else. And we talked about it being in the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all remember what the Ark is, don't you? I want y'all to picture this. Matthew chapter, I believe it's 18. When he talks about he will separate his what? Say it. His what? His sheep from what? Not his goats. The goats. Where do the sheep go? On his right hand. Where do the goats go? On his left hand. Where does Jesus Christ sit? He sits on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Okay? So let's say that this podium is the throne of God. This is the majesty on high. This podium is. Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of that throne. Okay? And where are the sheep? They're on this side of Christ. Where are the goats? They're on this side. What stands between them and the majesty on high? What mediator do they have? They have none. And so they will be what? Judged by their own. That God, they'll have a chance to plead their case before God on their own. They have no mediator. Right. And guess what? They'll be found guilty. And I would imagine that they'd put their hand over their mouth too, standing before a holy God.
Amen.
But guess what? Where the sheep stand, they stand on the other side of Jesus Christ, the mercy seat.
Right.
I'm going to tell y'all, when my son, he's not here. If he was here, you could see it. Some of y'all know Drew. And I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but he's got this Z-shaped scar right big on his cheek right there. And when he was 6 years old, he got attacked by a Rottweiler. And that Rottweiler, it's a great story and I don't really want to go long into it, but that Rottweiler first had his whole head in his mouth. Knocked him down and got him from behind. I mean, the teeth, he had puncture wounds here and up here on the top. And I don't know why Rottweiler let go, but that Rottweiler let go of him and it grabbed him right here by his eye, up under, right that you can feel the bone, right up under that, and then right up under here on the jaw. And chomped down, and we were at a friend's house. I was helping my father-in-law fix a garden. And after that, we're going fishing. And Drew, we've been around this dog all morning. And he wandered away from us. He wanted to pet the dog. So he walked on the other side of the barn, up there close to the house. And he got close to that house, and that dog knocked him down and got him. He started hollering and screaming. And I ran across over on the other side of that barn and I saw Drew. But all I saw was the blood that was on his face. I mean, it was bad. Horrible. Covered. Covered in his clothes. And on the way, he said, "Daddy," he always wanted stitches. And he said, "Daddy, am I wiped that stitch?" I said, "Son, you're going to have a bunch of them." He ended up having 40 or 50 stitches. Anyway, that image of Drew standing there in that blood. Is ingrained in my brain. And do you know where you stand? You stand on the other side of Christ. And when God looks at you, He sees the sufferings of His Son on your behalf. And when He sees you, He sees you through the blood of His Son. That image, if the image of my Son being bloody was forever in my brain, don't you think that the sufferings and the blood of Jesus Christ would be forever embedded in the mind of God, His Father? And that when you're covered in His blood, and because you're covered in His blood, you can stand before a holy God with Jesus mediating for you, and you don't have to plead your case. Jesus pleaded it on your behalf. And because He pleaded it on your behalf, you stand positionally pure and undefiled in the sight of God.
Amen.
And you know what? Jesus Christ not only mediated for you that way, He mediates for you. And you know, I want to get back to this Bible problem that we have. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, it took You know, we said yesterday that God don't sweep sin under the rug. It will be paid for. His justice will demand payment for sins against Him. You can't just slide it under the rug. So God purposed in His own mind how He was going to reconcile this situation. He said, I know, and this is called the covenant of grace, and it happened. And you can read about it, and I believe it's in Psalm 1. He said, I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance. He said, I'll take them. I'll take them. But they've got to be atoned for. Their sins have to be atoned for. That means made right. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll atone for their sins. I will be the sacrifice. And you can read this is so beautifully illustrated in terms of Isaac. Abraham and Isaac, when he took him up on the mount. And he said, Isaac said, Father, I see the wood here and I see the fire and I see the slab where the sacrifice is supposed to be slain, but I don't see a sacrifice. Abraham said, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Not only did that mean that He'll provide one for me, but He will provide Himself to be that sacrifice. Y'all see that point? And so then they saw the ram caught in the bush and they took it and all that. Which is a beautiful story. It's not just a story. It really happened. Amen. It's a story about a real happening. It's an account of a real happening. That's a better way to put it. So not only is God the mediator between God and man, but, you know, can a clean thing come out of an unclean thing? Let me ask y'all that. A clean thing can't come out of an unclean thing. So what was Adam? He fell in the garden. He became unclean. And because he was unclean, there's nobody else that's ever been clean. Except for Jesus Christ, who was without sin. You know, God did provide Himself an offering, didn't He? In Jesus Christ. I found out something when Hannah was sick. I found out that all these other doctors figure out that they all try to say that they're the best or that they're the ones that are the most important. The orthopedist thinks he's the best one. The neurosurgeon thinks they're the best one. The foot doctor thinks he's the best one because we walk on our feet every day. All of them think they're the best one. You know, I'm the most important one. I'm the endocrinologist. I'm the best one. Oh, no, the neurosurgeon, the brain, it's the best. It's the thing. But you know what I figured out? The blood doctors are the most important. You know why? Because you can bypass, you can transplant a kidney, you can grow other kind of things, and you can even go on kidney dialysis if you don't have any. You can artificially take that. But you know what we hadn't figured out how to do? We hadn't figured out how to produce synthetic blood. You think about it. Blood makes all the difference in the world. What did, I believe it was Peter or James, what did they say? They called his blood what? Precious, didn't they? But we've been, was it redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Is that how he put it? Perfect blood. It took that kind of blood to make that sacrifice. You know, they sacrificed polluted blood for a lot of years, thousands of years in the Old Testament, under the law. Bloody, horribly bloody sacrificial system. That was only to point to Jesus Christ, was it not? That was only to point to the one who would only have to sacrifice himself once. Because his blood was sufficient to get the job done. We don't, you know, there's no need in Jesus Christ coming back to do anything. As far as sacrificially, he has already done it. What a blessing it is. To know that my blood couldn't get the job done. What a blessing it is to know that no blood on this earth was pure enough to get the job done. But Jesus Christ, because he was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. You know, we're all under the law of sin and death. It took his precious blood to atone or make us right. So God provided himself an offering, in effect, making the covenant with himself, by himself. But he did it on your behalf, and you're the beneficiary of it. But you know what? That's not the only thing that he did. John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Christ Jesus is that advocate. And so if you have a problem, God's not just dwelling up in heaven somewhere and he says, okay, my legal work's done. I've taken their sins and I've taken them out of the way and I've separated them that far as the east is west from them. I've done all that and now I'm just going to leave them alone and let them deal with life. No, you've got a better God than that. I got better news for you than that. Jesus Christ stands right now. And he hears your prayers. And he loves you enough. And he cares enough about you that you can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
You know, he's just not some God that's up there far away. He's right there with you. Yeah, I felt him. Have you felt him?
Amen.
Have you ever been in a problem and you felt so close to God that you had the peace that passed all understanding and people come up to you and say, Brother Paul, I don't know how you're standing up. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you can go on. How you're even functioning in life. And I was getting along all right. Only because I went to that throne of grace often.
Amen.
Often. Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's not very far away from any one of us. He's not far away. Oh, but sometimes we slip, don't we? We go farther away. What does the Bible say? Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Oh, I tell you, don't just draw near to him. Run to him. Run to him! So I'm amazed that God, so many times, It's almost like, you know, he's on this throne of the majesty, this majestical throne. He sits on that, and we feel like that's such a high place that I can't approach unto that. But you know what? Because of Jesus Christ, you can. And sometimes God even allows us to hop on his knee to tell us his problems. And he kind of strokes our hair and says, baby, it's going to be all right. I love those times. Don't you? Don't you? When you call out to God and he lets you know that it's going to be all right. I love it. It's what gets me going. Amen. It's what keeps me from letting my outside circumstances dictate how I am on the inside. It lets me know that God's in control. Nothing's going to happen that he can't handle. He's not going to put on me more than I can stand. That's not to say I don't put more on myself than I can stand sometimes. God deserves all the glory, all the praise, all the worship that we could ever give him. You know, if Jesus Christ would have atoned and mediated for our sins and then resurrected and well, if he would have, you know, atoned for our sins perfectly and resurrected from the dead and never told anybody, the legal work still would have been done. Still would have been done. In the eyes and purpose of God, all that would have been done. But you know what? He loved you enough to tell you about it.
Right.
And so he sent preachers. And he sent the Spirit in our hearts. First of all, then preachers. The Spirit of God in your hearts that allows you to cry, Abba, Father. You know, Abba is kind of like that word that means daddy. It's kind of the way the Jewish people, that's kind of where they call what they call their daddy. You know, we say daddy, 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 daddy. I mean, they're really the father, but the daddy is something special. Closeness about that. You know, you may have a father. There's a lot of people don't know who their father is. I've got to stop. A lot of people don't know who their father is, but that spirit that makes you, quickens you, he lets you know who it is that's your father. Isn't that great? Amen. What a blessing it is. Let's give God all the praise and glory. Come on, Brother Tim.